Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. In today's show, we talk with Chaplain Vince Hokanen from the Minnesota National Guard about the spiritual health of service members, and we take a look at the military funeral honors with Chris Van Hofwegen. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Today, I'd like to address the issue of sexual assault prevention and response. This is an extremely serious issue and one that all commanders, leaders, soldiers, and airmen within the Minnesota National Guard take seriously in both military and civilian settings. Let me begin by saying that the Minnesota National Guard has a zero tolerance policy for sexual harassment, and anyone found guilty of sexual assault will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Sexual harassment and sexual assault erode a unit's cohesiveness. In order for a unit to be effective, the soldiers and airmen must rely upon each other and, more importantly, trust one another. Sexual assault destroys the very fabric of trust that binds a unit together. Therefore, in order to ensure the safety and dignity of all soldiers and airmen, the Minnesota National Guard has taken important steps to prevent these situations and address this critical issue. First, I'm proud to say that the Minnesota National Guard was the first state to hire a full-time sexual assault response coordinator, the purpose of which is to ensure that all soldiers and airmen are aware of the laws and regulations governing on and off-duty behavior. Second, we have trained sexual assault prevention responders at each military unit. Third, all soldiers and airmen receive yearly mandatory training on sexual violence. Sexual assaults are a horrible blemish on our society. National statistics show us that one out of four college-aged women will experience some sort of harassment, attempted or completed rape. I'm committed to ensuring that this will not happen within the ranks of the Minnesota National Guard. For more information on the Minnesota National Guard Sexual Assault Prevention Program and resources, log on to beyondtheyellowribbon.org for more information on tools available to soldiers, airmen, and their families.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generallyspeaking. This week, Chaplain Vince Hokanen of the Minnesota National Guard joins us. Chaplain Hokanen, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thanks, Tom, for having us. I appreciate that very much.
Chaplain, I understand you were a combat engineer stationed in Hawaii for the United States Army from 1986 to 1990, and you received a call to the ministry while you were in college and went into that.
Yeah, it was right after my first tour. I had some, religious experience, if you will, or a conversion experience, and felt the call to ministry. I was listening to a Baptist preacher, and I just had this unbelievable sensation to go and knock him out of the pulpit and start preaching God's word. And I later told him that. And he said, undoubtedly you're called to be a preacher and you need to tell that to everyone. And I said, no, I'm not. And, it took me weeks to say, to reveal that to people that I, had this calling, if you will. And it was confirmed over time. And so got involved here, came back to Minnesota, and then started college. And I actually, a couple weeks later, went to a local church, and the pastor there sensed the same thing and said, will you come on and be our youth director? And there's history.
And then that progressed, and you became a minister?
Yeah, I became associate pastor in that church in 1991, and then finished my college education, my undergraduate work, and moved to Blaine shortly thereafter. And in 1995, I became associate pastor at Oak Park Community Church in Blaine, and I've been there ever since.
And the denomination there, sir?
It's Conservative Baptist Association, CBA.
And how did you decide to become a chaplain for the Minnesota National Guard?
Well, that's a long story, but I'll try to shorten it as best I can. I was driving in my truck by bivocational, and I was driving my tractor that day. And I had this, not necessarily a premonition, but just this sense. I was reading the scripture and had this sense that, I was reminded of my former days on active duty, and it was a story about Joshua in some of his battles. And shortly thereafter, Focus on the Family came on the radio, and they were asking for military chaplains or, pastors who would be willing to serve in the military. Well, that same day, my wife came home with a packet from the National Guard and said, "Have you ever thought about being a military chaplain?" And I hadn't told her that I'd had this thought in this, time of devotion and quiet time meditation.
Coincidence?
I don't think so. And I said, "No, not interested." And I took the folder she had and I threw it on my desk, and there it sat for a couple weeks. And then I had a dream a couple weeks later that I was a military chaplain. And I woke up and threw on my PT gear to go do PT because that was my template from being on active duty. And of course, you gather your thoughts in a few seconds, realize where you're at. But I had this powerful dream. I didn't tell her about it, and the next day she came with a different packet.
Certainly sounds like a calling to be.
It was. So I came back in. I had to lose 100 pounds and did that. In 5 months, they got me assessed, and I pinned my cross on. And here we are, serving soldiers and military families, and what a tremendous blessing it has been.
And what kind of duties does a chaplain for the Minnesota National Guard, what does that all entail?
Well, there's the direct support for, chaplains or for soldiers and their religious needs, providing worship services and the ministry of presence and prayer and those sort of things. But then there's also the part of the stuff of training. We do suicide prevention, intervention training, and we do counseling, of course, a lot of counseling with soldiers and trying to meet the needs of their, their spiritual and moral needs and the needs of their families. And then also providing the commander's guidance and his direction as it pertains to religious support and protecting the right of the soldier to have that. That's their, constitutional right is the free exercise of religion, and it's our jobs to ensure that they have that right. So there's a few elements of what we do.
So when you're not on active duty, is that mostly the weekends and a couple of weeks in the summer?
Right. Yep, the weekend drills, and we provide worship services and counseling, and of course there's a staff officer piece where you report to the commander about certain issues or needs that the unit might have or that you foresee, and you work with the commander and the rest of the staff and making sure that you do your best to take care of the soldiers.
Now, is there some kind of formal process for the troops to go through if they feel they need some spiritual counseling?
Usually they just go to their line leader and say they like to see the chaplain. And so we make ourselves available in the event that something like that should happen. Other times we're just out in the field. The old adage is that the chaplain's office is wherever he is. And that's so true that we're going out and talking to soldiers and wherever they're at in their workstations. And it's very often in those times when we get an opportunity to have a spiritual conversation or to address a spiritual need.
I just had a flashback to basic training 40 years ago, and we'd go to church services so we could sneak a smoke.
Yeah, right.
Good reason to go see the chaplain.
Or not get smoked, right?
Well, that too. But
right.
Basic training, it was a chance to, while you were marched over there and you had a minute, you could grab a quick smoke and then go to services.
Right.
So I don't know if that's probably not a good reason to go to service.
Well, any way we can get them in the door, we're very appreciative.
Chaplain, I understand you were deployed recently to Kuwait.
Yes.
And we're going to have to take a short break, but when we come back, I'd like to ask you about your experience in Kuwait with the troops and what a chaplain does when he goes to war with the brigade.
That'd be fantastic.
All right, sir, we're speaking with Chaplain Vince Pulkkinen from the Minnesota National Guard on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking with Chaplain Vince Pulkkinen of the Minnesota National Guard, who will be supporting families of the 1st Brigade Red Bulls during their upcoming deployment. Chaplain, we talked earlier, you're a chaplain for the Minnesota National Guard, and you just got back from your first combat deployment on December of 21st, 2010, from Kuwait.
That's right.
Can you tell me when a unit goes to war, and the chaplain or chaplains go with them, what does a chaplain do, and how do you support the troops?
Well, the primary thing that we're doing is ensuring that they have the opportunity to worship God as they see fit. And so when we go over there, we want to make sure that we provide those opportunities during their operations if they come back to Kuwait and they go into Iraq and they're doing part of their jobs and they come back to the camp, if you will, and we provide religious support in that in that fashion through worship services and Bible studies and various other things that we work with MWR on. Now, we're not MWR chaplains at all. That's not part of what we do. We're not involved necessarily with the MWR piece, the morale, welfare, and recreation. We're not tourist advisors, but at the same time, we want to make sure that the morale is high. And so we make sure that morale stays high through providing religious support, whether it be through presence or Bible studies or worship services and this sort of thing. And then we also make sure that that every soldier of every religious faith has the same opportunities. And so we either perform or provide religious support to them during their mission. And we, because we're embedded, we're able to be with them. And that ministry of presence is very important, particularly in a combat scenario.
So do you minister to multiple faiths when you need to?
Well, the way we do it, like I said, is we perform or provide. And so if the soldier is a Protestant soldier, if you will, if that's their faith tradition, whether it be Methodist or any of the other Protestant, Baptist, then we provide support for them. If they're a Catholic soldier, then we find a Catholic chaplain to assist us in providing support to them. And it goes that way with the Mormons and the various other Jewish folks. We have Holy High Days, and we provide services or an opportunity for them to be shuttled to a place where they're doing those kinds of ministries. And so we support them, and we are definitely accountable to make sure that all the religious faiths are distinctly taken care of, whether we provide it directly or assist them in getting that support at some other time or, you know, very shortly after they see us.
So you provide services and counseling?
Yes, counseling is another big part of what we do forward, and soldiers have, various issues that come up. Not just, the fear of a combat scenario for first-time deployed soldier, and that's who usually would have that kind of conversation with me, but also just there's family issues back home, or they're dealing with Operation Temple, their stress. On a camp, it's like being in a prison. You can't really leave if you don't have any reason to. And so you're in this area where you're locked down, essentially, unless you go out on missions. And so it's very much like a prison. And so the Army has done very well, though, at taking care of soldiers with reference to food and their physical needs and even safety as best as one can. But then they provide the opportunities like at the USO and the other places and workout facilities and all this. And we're trying to break up the monotony as best as you can. Yet at the same time, we know that, the soldiers are going to come and still have those needs from back home, and they're fighting with their wives, or they're having issues of communication, or they're just simply sad about being away from their families. And that stress starts to weigh on soldiers after a significant amount of time. So we counsel them and get them back in the fight.
The chaplain, the soldiers are over there to perform their mission, and they have to go out on patrols, and they're carrying weapons, and if they get shot at, they're going to shoot back. How do you answer the question when a soldier comes to you and says, "The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not kill"?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Tom. And the way that we want to really come to a reasonable interpretation of the passage there in the Ten Commandments, the word for kill there in the original language actually is murder. And so there's a distinction drawn between killing and murder, and it's different. So like when the judges would come along and they would conquer their enemies, as God told them to through Joshua, they would smash the Amalekites or whoever they were conquering. And that kind of killing was justifiable because they were innocent. And these people would come and try to conquer them and take them over to enslave them. And so there's a distinction between killing and murder. And the Bible then, therefore, in the Old Testament, forbids murder, which is different. There's malice and evil intent, all part of that. And so that's what's forbidden, not necessarily the justifiable means of killing. And if anyone's interested, they can, read someone like von Clausewitz on the ethics of war and find out and wrestle through those issues. But when the soldiers ask the question, they go, "Oh yeah, well, that makes sense." Well, there's a lot more to it than that. But at the end of the day, that does bring some measure of comfort and deconflicts the fact that they have to do their job. And our American fighting forces are the finest soldiers in the world. And the fact that they're asking a moral question like that demonstrates the kind of character and quality that our soldiers are.
Thank you, Chaplain. Now, occasionally, do you get to off the base and get to go on a mission with some of the troops?
Well, our technical chain, folks like Chap Morris say, "Hey, if you don't need to be out there, there's no reason to be out there. Your primary place of ministry is at the camp because that's where majority of the soldiers are." Yet at the same time, there's times when we have to, You know, we need to be out there with the soldiers, let them know that the chaplain is not only given inspiration, but is willing to do the hard things and be out there with them suffering. And so there was times we went out on missions. Absolutely, we had to. That's part of the job.
Seems to me I'd like to have the chaplain ride along with me if I was out on a mission.
Yeah, a lot of soldiers felt a lot safer being along. I don't know how much safer we were. Maybe they felt like they had a special package and they had to pay, you know, extra attention to what they were doing. But these guys that I deployed with were fantastic, and they really did their job. They're outstanding. I felt really safe with them and blessed.
The chaplain, you're married and got a couple of children, and you were deployed for 10 months. I'm sure that a lot of the troops are married, have families. Does the Yellow Ribbon program that's been put in place the last few years provide some comfort to those troops, knowing that there's help back here?
Yeah, and that is a very important piece of what the efforts that we've been engaged in and will continue to be engaged in making sure that the families are taken care of as best as we can, because that help keeps the soldier in the fight. And if he is assured that his family is taken care of, or that there are resources out there to help her or him during the deployment and with their children, then that brings a level of security or a level of confidence in knowing that everything's taken care of back home, and then they can focus on their job. And that's what we need them to be. We need their head in the game and be in the fight.
And Chaplain, one final question. How's the overall spiritual health of the Minnesota National Guard?
I think right now morale is very high overall, and I think the spiritual health of the units is very good. We have some outstanding chaplains. I feel blessed to work with the colleagues that I have, and they're all doing great and fantastic work and working with the local clergies to help us sustain a sustainable, kind of support for families during the numerous and multiple rotations that we're having and we're continue to have. And all of our chaplains are engaged and they're doing fantastic work. And their competence is demonstrated by the fact that morale is high and the spiritual needs that families have are being addressed. And we see success stories all the time.
Chaplain, thank you for your service and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That was Chaplain Hokkanen. From the Minnesota National Guard, who will be supporting the families of the 1st Brigade Red Bulls during their upcoming deployment. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase, a story where someone just like you and I went out of their way to make a difference in the life of a service member or their family. The floods of 2007 couldn't have hit Kristen at a worse time. Her husband had just deployed to Iraq, and she was on her own when the rain caused water and mud to swamp her Mankato basement. Most of the Joneses' backyard washed into their basement, leaving 3 feet of standing water. In a state of panic, Kristen called the Mankato Family Assistance Center. The Family Assistance Center support staff took Kristen's call and immediately contacted a few contractors. With a quick search on the Minnesota Family Care Initiative website, staff also found a landscaper willing to help. These volunteers quickly assessed the damage and contacted Kristen's insurance company, but unfortunately, she didn't have flood insurance. The contractors and the landscaper stood by her as they offered to do the repairs for free. The landscaper built retaining walls in the backyard, and the contractors cleaned the basement and replaced the damaged windows. They even replaced a few upstairs windows that were in bad shape. With Kristen's husband deployed, the help of the community provided was more than just a relief. It gave her and her husband peace of mind. Thank you to those Mankato volunteers for showcasing how Minnesotans strive to go beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects service members and their families with organizations, agencies, companies, community support, training, services, and resources to bring our service members all the way home. To learn how you can, like those volunteers, make a difference in the life of a service member or military family, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. When we return, we'll take a look at military funeral honors with Chris Van Hofwagen. That's right here on News Talk 100.3. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelido.
The Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, also known as MACV, deserves recognition for their work with homeless and in-crisis veterans and their families. This nonprofit organization has been working for Minnesota veterans for more than 19 years. With offices throughout the state, MACV provides critical services like housing, employment, and legal assistance. In 2010, MACV assisted nearly 800 veterans and their families, a 58% increase over 2007. This year, it's estimated that 4,000 veterans will experience an episode of homelessness or a crisis that edges them toward homelessness. Knowing this, MACV is turning up the volume and looking for new ways to partner and assist our heroes who might need a hand. MACV's unique model of support is successful because of their strong partnerships, their focus on outreach, and their dedication to veterans. In fact, many homeless and veterans organizations recognize MACV's transitional and permanent housing programs as a model for the nation. Their mission is to serve those in Minnesota who served us first. We are honored to partner with such an outstanding organization, and we look forward to participating in collaborative efforts with MACV in the future. To learn more about this impressive organization and how you can help, visit them on the web at mac-v.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. You can find out more about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs by calling 1-888-LINK-VET or online at minnesotaveteran.org. This week, Chris Van Hofwegen joins us. He is the coordinator of the Minnesota Military Funeral Honors Program. Mr. Van Hofwegen, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Well, thank you, Tom.
I understand, sir, that you retired in 2005 as a major and spent 22 years in the Minnesota Army National Guard.
That is correct.
So we just talked to the chaplain, Hokanen, a little while ago. Were you also deployed during your years?
I was not. I actually got out right when they were doing the big deployment for the 2 years that they were gone.
Being in the Guard for 22 years and retiring as a major, how has that helped you in your position as the coordinator for the Minnesota Military Funeral Honors Program?
Oh, it's been immense. Just being in the military, knowing all the people that you deal with and all the different types of things that they go through. The people that work for me are all full-time National Guard people. I have 27 of them. And just being able to get things done, you know, you can make a call and say, for example, you call Chaplain Hokanen and say, hey, this is Chris Van Hofwegen calling, and the names kind of sound familiar, and they're like, oh yeah, I remember you from when you were up at Camp Ripley or doing, you know, working with the 151. So yeah, it helps a lot.
Can you explain to us briefly what is the mission of the Military Honors Program?
The Military Honors Program is actually to make sure that our veterans get the honors that are deserved to them when they for their funerals. The veteran service organizations such as the American Legion and the VFWs have been doing it for years. And what this program does is it actually steps in and it helps assist that with those veteran service organizations. So we do we help with the honors with the flag fold, the playing of taps, shooting the rifles, just like the veteran service organizations do.
Now, is this a state program?
It is.
And when was it established?
The first time it was started was in 2001. That was nationwide, and there were 6 states that were involved in it. And then Minnesota signed into the program in 2004. And so we've been running in this state since 2004.
And I understand during your first year, the number of funerals went up dramatically?
That's correct. When I first came on board, I kind of had a vision of what I wanted to see happen. And when I looked at the numbers, it was 276 funerals for the year. And I thought, you know what? I think we can do better than that. So I went out and started knocking on doors and meeting with the American Legion posts and different things like that. And basically when I started doing that and started just branching out and reaching, then I started taking it up to the next level. And the very first year we did it, we were at 1,900 funerals.
Now, does that mean more of our veterans are dying, or does that just mean you're doing more of the funerals?
I've actually collected more of the information, and we are doing more of the funerals. That's correct.
So they can come to you as opposed to having the local legions and VFWs and so forth provide the honor guards?
We can do both, actually. I try to work with all the American legions and VFWs I can. It's a great partnership program where you get those folks out there and they don't want to fold the flag because it's 30 below zero or, you know, that type of thing. And my young soldiers that come out are in their 20s and stuff, so they have young hands and they can fold flags and shoot rifles and just participate with those folks.
Are these soldiers active duty?
They are what they call it. They call them additional duty special work, ADSW. So, yes, they are full-time. They work 7 days a week, as long as I need them.
So are these members of the Minnesota National Guard?
They are Minnesota National Guard. That's correct.
And how many did you say you had?
I have 27 right now.
So how many teams can you put out there?
I currently have 5 teams on and out across the state.
And I suppose they're going 7 days a week.
They go as many 7 days a week as possible. That's correct.
Now, do they travel around the state?
They do. They go wherever there's a funeral that needs to be done. So I have government service vehicles that we use as much as possible. I try not to use our own vehicles. And they go wherever they need to go. That's correct.
Do you have a master scheduler or something?
I am the master scheduler. That's correct. And I actually have 2 soldiers in my office that actually help me do that, too.
These calls must come from everywhere. Do they come from the families, from the local clubs? Do they come from the funeral homes? Where do they come from?
Everywhere. Casualty Assistance Center out of Fort Leavenworth helps us with a few. Funeral directors call me directly. I get families that ask questions through soldiers. That units call me and say, hey, I got a person here that is looking for military funeral honors and doesn't know where to go. Yes, I get calls from everybody, everywhere.
So can you... tell us about a typical mission or a typical funeral.
There's actually 3 phases of a funeral. I have a basic funeral, which is a 3-person funeral, where they do the flag fold presentation and playing of taps. And then I have what's called a retiree funeral, which is 7 folks, where they actually have a rifle party of 4 people, and you still have a flag fold, presentation, and taps. And then I have a full honors funeral, which is the one everybody usually thinks about when you have 21 people out there with the guns, the 21-minute gun salute, the 6-man flag fold, live bugler, chaplain, flag team, everybody.
Can't forget the chaplains.
Can't forget a chaplain, no.
Now, we've lost a few soldiers on deployments.
Yes,
we
have.
Are there special services for them when they come back?
We actually had the 3 Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers that passed away a couple of years back. We actually had the general out, which was General Shulateau, and his staff came out to those 3 funerals that happened across the state. So where they were at, that's where my team was at also.
And a lot of these funerals, I'm assuming you probably see the Minnesota Patriot Guard there as well.
That's correct, yes. I know them very well.
They perform a fine service.
They do provide a fine service. Yes, they do.
So do you coordinate activities with them, or they do their thing, you do yours?
Well, believe it or not, we actually call each other to make sure that we have that type of deal covered between both sets. So, yes, we work hand in hand with those folks. We also work with the Gold Star Mothers when they're called upon to come up, or the Blue Star Mothers. So we work with all those.
So you said you went from 276 funerals to 1,900. How many did you do in 2010?
In 2010, we did 4,323.
My goodness. Yes. Have you got enough troops, sir?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they stay busy, but they also get some downtime. We try to make sure that everybody gets some time off throughout the week to just have a couple of days to themselves.
Is it emotionally tiring for the troops?
Actually, you know, the way it's set up is when they come out and they do the honors, they do the honors and they leave. So there's no name tapes on them, so you don't know who they are. They all show up, they look the same. So if you met them on the street, you probably wouldn't even know that they were on the honors team. So,
if I were you, sir, I don't want to tell you how to do your business, but if I were you, I'd have Chaplain Hokanen out to speak to your troops about a couple times a year.
I will do that.
He might cheer them up. Are there any stories that stick out in your mind about funerals over the last couple of years? Anything special?
Every funeral is different. Everybody tries to put things in a box, per se, but yeah, and it doesn't work that way. You have families that are all kinds of different ways, where you have divorced parents, children involved, no children involved, new spouses with an ex-spouse. It's quite the story when you get out there and you just try to figure out how the family dynamics work before you get too carried away.
And are there, I hope there hasn't been any accidents or any problems with your troops?
No, none.
So everybody's been pretty careful, get there, get it done.
That's correct, even with bad weather.
It's a fine service that you're providing.
Well, thank you.
Besides the funerals, what other type of honors do you provide?
We do all the different types of color guards for the state. Wherever the governor's at, whenever he calls, we come up there and help them. Wherever the adjutant general's at, we go out and we help him. So every time he turns around, he sees my funeral honors team. He's wondering what's going on.
They're following him around.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I'm pretty sure I saw one of your team at General Shalito's retirement party.
That you did.
And then I know that last year at our Minnesota Military Family Foundation golf event, we asked for an honor guard, and they came out and did an incredible job.
Those are my people. Yes, sir.
Well-dressed, well-behaved, professional.
Thank you.
They did an outstanding job, and a lot of the golfers made comments about it.
Oh, excellent.
We're going to have to take a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Be right back. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking with Chris Van Hufwegen, the coordinator of the Minnesota Military Funeral Honors Program. Chris, I've heard that Minnesota has the nation's best honor team.
That's correct.
How did that come to pass?
In 2009, they actually had the competition for the third year in 2009, and we submitted a tape as Minnesota and got chosen as our regional rep for that off that. And we ended up getting picked to go down to Arlington National Cemetery to actually compete in 2009, and we took first place.
How many teams were out there?
Eight.
Eight teams? And was it an all-day deal? Or
it was an all-week deal.
All week?
Yeah. All week deal.
What do you do for a week?
You do everything that comes with funeral honors. You do rifle party. They get evaluated. They do a PT test, physical training test, make sure that they can pass their physical fitness. They do weight, height, weight. They do carrying a 300-pound casket. They do flag fold, six-man, two-man, three-man, bugling. They do it all. It goes all the way up and down, just like they would at Arlington National Cemetery.
So you took one team?
I took one team of eight members. That's correct.
And did you get the tour around? Did you get to go see the Tomb of the
Unknown
Soldier?
Us a day to go look at it, and yes, I did. I actually got to go down and meet with Sergeant First Class Lanier, who is the gentleman that you watch on the video. When they do the Arlington National Cemetery video, he's the gentleman that runs the honors team down there. And we actually got to watch him do his rifle inspection right 2 inches away from me. I actually watched him do it. So
and learn about all the special rules.
It is amazing. Amazing.
Fantastic. Well, that's a great honor for your team, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it is.
Now, we should backtrack just a little bit. You provide all kinds of honors. You go to ceremonies. You go to golf courses. You, of course, do all the funerals. When we talk about the funerals, who's eligible for the honor services from your teams?
Anybody that is a veteran that has an honorable discharge, meaning that if you were a National Guard member and you served your 3 years, 4 years, 6 years contract, your first contract, you are considered a veteran for the military funeral honors. So anybody that has that type of recommend DD-214 that has honorable discharge or a National Guard Bureau 22, NGB-22, that is the National Guard equivalent of a DD-214, they all get, if it says honorable on it, they are considered to get honors for funeral honors team.
And under your program, you're authorized to go anywhere in the state of Minnesota?
Anywhere in the state of Minnesota, that's correct. Sometimes I cross the border, but don't tell Wisconsin.
Uh-oh, we won't talk about that. Now, how does a veteran or a family member of a veteran request your services?
Most of the services come through the funeral directors, where they have contact information. I try to reach out as much as I can to the Funeral Directors Association of Minnesota and just go to their meetings and let them know who I am and what I do. So they have my phone number and they call me directly. Or if they don't do that, I have family members that go through actual National Guard folks that say, hey, we got someone here that's looking for honors. How do we get that done? Or I actually go through my Casualty Assistance Center down at Fort Leavenworth that some of the funeral directors have that number and they call through there. So.
Now, is it a formal process to fill out some paperwork? How tough is it?
It's, you give me a phone call, I ask you a few questions, your next thing you know, here's my funeral honors team knocking at your door ready to go.
Now, are there procedures for other events besides the funerals that are a little more onerous?
That's correct. I work with the Captain OJ and the PAO folks to make sure that if there's any events that are coming up for color guards, I get called a lot for types of stuff, and they make sure that that request is legitimate, and then from there I go with that type of paperwork.
Now, we talked about how many funerals you've done, and it's a huge number, but how many other events do you get involved in?
I have never counted, to be honest with you.
Frequency?
I have two of them going on this weekend. One of them's on Friday. I just got asked to help out with a boxing match at Cedar Street down at St. Paul here on the 27th of May, so I'm going to help out with that. And all that stuff comes through the PAO folks.
So there's some kind of filter for it before
you
on the events, so they make sure that it's just not every backyard.
Correct.
What was the other event this weekend?
I was supposed to, one of the things I was doing was, I think the high school league asked me to do a color guard for them to do the opening ceremony for their basketball. Or I believe that's one of the ones I have coming up this weekend. I have to go look at my calendar again. I have, like I said, I kind of lose track of where it's going. I just put it in and then give it off to them.
Are there any real interesting venues that your people have been to?
The State of the State has been the most interesting when the governor has a State of the State for, and when they go and do that, they have some special stuff they do for him and post the colors outside the House chambers and stand at parade rest while they're waiting for while the governor's speaking, and then they leave after he leaves.
Are there special protocols for what's expected, or do you just go over there and talk to him and ask him, and how does that all work?
That's correct. I kind of go with what the state troopers are doing, and we kind of marry up with them, and together we work out what we're going to do for it. So there isn't really anything special written down or anything. We just kind of go with what looks appropriate.
Well, Chris, I hope you're taking darn good care of your troops, because they're providing a really valuable, respectful service, especially to the old veterans and today's veterans. And we need to send those folks off in the proper manner, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Any final thoughts you'd like the listeners to hear about your program?
I'm available. Just give me a holler if you need any help with any veterans out there, if you're looking for honors. Every veteran out there deserves to have honors given to them, and we don't cost anything. Just give us a call, and we'll be out there for you.
And the other way you can do that is to request for a color guard. You can go to MinnesotaNationalGuard.org and click on Community Support.
Excellent.
Major, thanks for joining us today. I've enjoyed our conversations.
Well, thank you, sir.
That was Chris Van Hofwegen, the coordinator of the Minnesota Military Funeral Honors Program. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Let's take a look in the mailbag to see the listener question of the week. If you have a question, submit it to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. This week's letter reads, I read in Minnesota Parent magazine that there are many camp opportunities for military youth and military families. Can you tell me more? I'm interested in registering. And joining us today to help answer this one is Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Sergeant Nelson.
Hi, Tom. Yes, that is the question in the mailbag today. Someone is interested in camps.
And how do we find out the answer to that?
Well, I have the answer to that. I mean, what the mailbag person had read was a great story in Minnesota Parent magazine this month in March. It's a free magazine that you can pick up around the Twin Cities. And they highlighted a military family that went to a military camp. I'm not sure exactly which camp this particular family is interested in, but there are so many different camps. Of course, at beyondtheyellowribbon.org, if you click into the camp section, you'll read about a couple of my favorites. One is the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp, and that is for children of active duty and retired Minnesota National Guard service members and their nieces and nephews and siblings and grandchildren. And another one is called Operation Military Kids Adventure Camp. And this adventure camp is for youth who are in grades 4 through 12 and have a family member in one of the services. And camps go on all summer long, Tom. There are a lot of camps in June and July and August. There's even a family camp called Operation Military Kids Family Camp. And that starts as early as June 17th.
And they run all summer.
They do. They do. And there are so many other camps that we've heard about recently that our partners and different nonprofit organizations are putting on for military kids, and all of those different camp ideas that I get a hold of, I put them all in one place, Tom, on our website at beyondyellowribbon.org. And we are going to have an opportunity to hear more about camps, Tom.
So we're going to be hearing even more about these opportunities next week?
Yes, we are. We are. Next week on the show, we're going to have Ray Kennedy, and he's a state coordinator for the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp, a wonderful volunteer. He has been with youth camp since it started. And then another great gal, she's with the 4-H program manager, program office, and her name is Michelle Van Dyke, and we're going to be meeting with them next week here on the radio show.
Sergeant Nelson, I don't know how you keep track of all this stuff, but I'm certainly glad that you've got it all compiled at beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Sergeant Nelson. And if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Chaplain Vince Hokanen from the Minnesota National Guard, Chris Van Hofwegen from the Minnesota Military Funeral Honors Program, Commissioner Larry Shelido of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about opportunities for military kids in Minnesota, and we'll speak with one of the few remaining survivors of the Bataan Death March. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. If you have questions for our mailbag or want to check out the podcast of today's show and all our shows, visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.